This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, of course, when you talk about the possibility that we are here because of them, that goes back to the ancient astronaut theories, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what's your take?
On ancient astronaut theories?
Yep.
Sure. Once again, as viable as anything, that visitations in the past that may have been observed in prehistoric times or biblical times were noted in the oral tradition and became parts of the mythologies that perhaps parts of certain religions are based on or philosophical beliefs, or that, again, evolution actually happened in the process as exploring extraterrestrials came here, saw a relatively advanced life form that they felt could be improved, something, again, that we do regularly, if not improved, changed in some way that serves us with life forms on this planet on a regular basis. It doesn't sound terribly exotic to me at this point, the idea that was set in motion in the 1960s by then a Swiss-German journalist named Eric von Daniken, and is now just part of the philosophy of what these other intelligences, or some of them at least, may be about.
Well, I should point out also that, you know, some biologists say that the human species are basically a domesticated animal, though they say that we domesticated ourselves, but we have all the characteristics that we see with, you know, say like cats, dogs, and other domesticated animals, that they still have that almost infant look about them. Their features are smooth, and humans are the same way. So at some time in the past, were we domesticated?
Very possibly. Or not. Them could have evolved either way, and they would both make sense to me. There was a time for me, and I think as any of us explore in wider and wider circles, if we're compelled enough or interested enough about potential explanations for the whys and wherefores of visitations and other intelligences, this becomes one more door to pass through that, you know, at that moment that you first consider it is quite exotic and perhaps a little far-fetched. And then upon reflection, simply is one more thing that makes sense as a very real possibility. And we all, those of us who are involved in this work or have experiences to one degree or another, I think have the potential to keep our minds open and let go of one possibility for another one as dominant, or you know, just do our best to be good students of the subject without being overwhelmed by its strangeness or exoticness or, you know, the quality that keeps it separate from day-to-day other kinds of reality.
When it comes to abduction phenomena, Peter, I mean, you know, you've been involved in that research for quite a while. I mean, is this something that is continuing today? I haven't heard a lot of stories recently along these lines. Not like, you know, it was, especially in the you know, it was like the 80s and 90s. It's at least the media interest has tapered off a bit. Is it still an ongoing phenomena?
Oh yes, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. And there are still individuals that are all over the world who are doing their best to keep track or assist or facilitate some assistance when possible for people having these experiences. Yeah, it certainly hasn't gone away.
Hmm. And are the same types of scenarios that we've seen in the past, you know, bedroom invasions, the at times like false pregnancies and then the disappearance of these pregnancies.
Yes.
Are these still occurring as well?
Very much so.
Really?
No change in the dynamics or the patterns.
Hmm. Yeah, see, that's as we talked about earlier. I mean, this has been something that has been ongoing for a number of years. Who knows? Maybe even centuries.
Right.
And I know Gene has pointed this out before. I mean, you know, after a while, don't you think that they've gotten enough samples? You know, can just go on with their work now.
Yeah, I remember when the research around abduction being taken was still fairly in its infancy in the later 70s and early 80s, that it was often referred to as they were experimenting. Well, no, I think on reflection, the word was completely inappropriate. There's a program in effect that we can only guess about that is leading to something, I imagine, and that involves this need, desire to continue to, again, I don't think we should be looking at it as, well, gee, we've, you know, shaken this every possible way and everything's fallen out of the pockets and we've checked it six ways from Sunday and we've learned everything. I don't think it's that as much as needing or desiring to monitor certain aspects of the same bioenergetic form, the same being, to note changes over time, to extract information of some sort. I don't know. But yeah, that if one wants to look at it as, you know, they've been doing this for so long, haven't they learn what they needed to learn, and why is it still going on? It's like asking, are they good or are they bad? It's mm-hmm. not the right question, and it depends which ones we're talking about, I guess.
So you think there's a possibility that we're not just dealing with one race of whatevers, that there could be, you know, like multiple things going on, so to speak?
I've never thought that was a possibility, really. I've always assumed, even from the beginning, that if we weren't alone in the universe or in the dimensional world, that the novel idea that there was one other life form that had evolved to a point where it could visit us was kind of condescending to the odds of, you know, our Milky Way galaxy having 100 billion suns and they having 100 billion planets, and we're one galaxy out of 100 billion. No, I think it's probably going on more than that. And the area of UFO-related intelligence that has had my attention to the greatest degree for all the years I've been involved have been that sliver that's represented by beings usually referred to as grays, which are either android, you know, part living life form and part technology, or some innate life form, or some form created by a higher form of intelligence that is either doing the bidding of that higher form of intelligence, or have kind of a collective hive mind, like bees or ants might, all geared to producing, you know, a single series of results and all working together on that to the exclusion of anything else.
We're going to break here. You sound to me like you're almost talking about the Borg there. Peter Robbins, Gene Steinberg, Tim Swartz, lots more to go. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So when you talked about possible artificial beings, and we talk about a hive mind, I said Borg. You know what I mean, Peter?
I think so. You're referring to, like, Forbidden Planet?
I'm not talking about the monsters from the id in Forbidden Planet. I'm talking about a race of cyborgs that were featured in Star Trek Next Generation.
I didn't follow the show, and I don't know.
No worries. But you get the general picture here. We're talking about a collective race of completely or partly artificial beings with a centralized goal, which may be a better way of running things because you don't have people to dispute you.
Well, better for who, I'm not sure. But, yeah, it's one of a number of possibilities. There are colleagues, of course, who will tell you with great specificity what solar system and galaxy and planet this particular group is from, what their ships are powered on, how many years they've been coming here, why they're here, what they have to eat, and other details of their lives and existence that I have no way of verifying, and I usually don't take very seriously because there's no way to establish empirically that it's true. It's like every once in a while somebody will simply say there are, and then give a number, this many civilizations visiting Earth. And I think to myself, you know, you're really a horse's ass, or you're very naive, or you want so much to believe something that you accept a random number. And even if it's given to you by some well-known investigative writer or author or personality in the work, and they say they have a contact deep within the intelligence community, you believe them. And even if they do, how do we know, or how can we even expect that that so-called contact has information that in itself is accurate or doctored or untrue or based on belief? It's like saying, once again, all aliens are good or all aliens are bad. It depends which ones we're talking about. And good or bad may be the wrong questions. They're involved in agendas to produce certain goals that may be in agreement with ours, may not. And I guess that's where we make the judgment call.
Well, that's like, I mean, any time someone says something like that to me, you know, there are 185 distinct species visiting the Earth right now. It's like, okay, what's your source? And have you vetted that source? And it usually doesn't go any further than, you know, who's your source? Well, yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Daryl Sims told me one time that, you know, he wonders if the beings that we have seen associated with the UFO phenomena, one of the reasons that they look familiar, you know, humanoid or the reptilians or the insect people, is because that they are genetically manipulated life forms from even more unknown alien source that we'll never see, and that, you know, they're manipulated because they can work in our environment. And I always thought, well, I mean, you know, you can't prove that one way or the other, but that's an interesting idea.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Yeah. In fact, the old British television show UFO, and I usually don't bring up pop culture, you know, things on the show, but that show was Gary and Sylvia Anderson's production. The yes. Extraterrestrials were always shown as humanoid in suits. Investigators later found out that they actually contained bits and pieces from kidnapped humans on Earth to keep them going, but then, unfortunately, at the end of the season, and the show was never renewed, it was discovered that the true aliens have never been seen, and that these, you know, even the humanoid species were some kind of construct. If we think about, say, like H.G. Wells and the War of the Worlds type of scenario, if the truly alien can't exist here, well, they're going to need something to do their work with.
The thing that bothered me about War of the Worlds is, if you recall the movie and the story, they succumbed to our common cold after mm-hmm. basically succeeding in their invasion. And mm-hmm. my impression here is that they had to be galactically stupid, because if you go to another planet, you are advanced enough to take over that planet. You have advanced weaponry. Wouldn't your physicians, so to speak, understand they have to check the flora and fauna of this planet, make sure there are no viruses to which they could succumb? That would be one of their earliest tasks.
It's fiction, and fiction writers sometimes miss details or could care less about details, or that's one way to proceed for other people. No, let's just get the heck in here. Or they did their tests and they missed, you know, it's off on a tangent.
Well, of course, there might be politics involved, too. You know, you have to pay off the right people to finish your research, and you're anxious because you have a deadline. Get to Earth, take them over before whatever happens to us happens to us. I'm just making it all up as I go along.
Sure. Well, that's the thing. In this field, one of the catch-22s is, unlike, say, the world of medicine or law, where there's something called, in this country, the American Medical Society or the Bar Association, where if you stray ethically, if you put forward false findings, if you treat a patient with, you know, a harebrained, non-working kind of cure, you can be censured. You can lose your career. There is no equivalent in the world of UFO studies. And I guess I'm keeping separate here if you're a member of the Mutual UFO Network and you take their investigators course, then you have a certain amount of training in investigation of this phenomena. Strictly within that organization, if you're caught forging data or something, well, you could be lose your official sanctioning to be an investigator or a member. Otherwise, it's prove me wrong. It's a field where, in order to qualify as a ufologist, I think the protocol is a variation on touch your finger to your nose, turn around three times, and you are one. You can hang up your shingle and start to publish and interact with people on the internet and put forward your theories. And who is anybody to say that you're wrong just because you're new on the block? As a result, there's so much nonsense out there and so much belief-driven data. I see the expanding world of interest in the reality of truly anomalous UFOs and their implications for humanity as a kind of infotainment more and more, where we have our roster of real scholars who, you know, work away year after year and do their best to help us acquire information that we can use in a positive way, and a lot of personalities, a lot of characters, a lot of players, a lot of people who I think their main goal is to be well-known.
We're trying to be well-known as well. With Peter, Gene, and Tim, you're in
The Pedicast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. The CDC changing the guidelines. If you get COVID, you do not have to lock yourself away for 5 days, but you should stay at home and away from others until at least 24 hours after symptoms get better and you don't have a fever without medication. President Joe Biden said the U.S. is reaching out with help for the people of the Gaza Strip. He talked about what he called the tragic and alarming event in North Gaza, where more than 100 people died as they rushed food aid trucks and Israeli forces guarding those trucks opened fire. Michelle Traconis, who stood trial in connection with the disappearance of Jennifer Dulos, her live-in boyfriend's estranged wife, has been found guilty on all counts. Traconis' sentencing set for May 31st. Corey Myers, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Hi, this is James Fox, director of The Phenomenon and Moment of Contact. You're listening to The Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
But hasn't it always been thus, Peter, that there are people who get into the UFO field under the mistaken belief they'll become rich and fameless? I said fameless, not
that's
famous.
One of our favorites. Yes, exactly.
Yes. Fameless, I like that term.
More mythological than anything else in the world of UFO studies.
There are some people who have managed to get onto the convention circuit and do fairly well for themselves by spitting the wildest tales that I have ever heard. Lots and lots of them. Lots of wild tales.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact is some of them are true. They sound like fiction for many of us, and we understand them.
I was thinking, let's see, what was it? It was the, MUFONs and the secret space program that I think that got a lot of people just realizing just how far off to the side some of these conversations go. Now, you know, I mean, we speculate on this show quite a bit on our subjects, but I don't think any of us have ever said, well, this is definitely how it is. You know, the little gray guys are from Alpha Centauri,
yeah,
and they've been here for 500 years. No, no. But, like you said, there are so many people out there who are saying, hey, I know it. I have all of the answers to you. Come pay to listen to me speak.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Yeah, well, and it's because it's exciting. You know, it is. It's like you said, it's infotainment.
Yes.
And they're using UFOs as the hook.
Yeah. We can understand that. I think it's also fed by the wonderful double-edged sword of the Internet, which is, it's miraculous on a certain level, and it's a great tool. if used in the right way. And it's also this giant spigot of crap, of nonsense, of ridiculous claims, of specious stories laid out as fact. Also, since the age of photoshopping, I think a lot of people have become less rigorous about, you know, seeing an image or some bit of intriguing footage of what purports to be some kind of truly anomalous object in the sky, and because they want to believe. I meant to make that point earlier that the big mantra here is the words of the X-Files poster, I want to believe. And that drives, I think, many people to take their beliefs and either gently, maybe unconsciously, work them into something they consider factual as opposed to opinion. And if you get enough people to agree with your opinion, well, that feels pretty good. You've got, I must be onto something here because a lot of people agree, even if it's just some wild dream I had. But hey, it's UFOs. It could be true. And they become a belief system, almost like a religion in a way, which is not necessarily a good thing. It's belief based on faith in your belief, as opposed to factual, empirical, provable knowledge, or a database that can be taken more and more as a quality research tool based on all of the independent, unbiased contributions that go into building it.
You made a good point there using the word religion, because there are a lot of people who view this phenomena, and especially the extraterrestrial hypothesis, part of it almost as a religion. It's a replacement for the, you know, this standard spiritual-based religion. This is the 21st century, started in the 20th century, but 21st century religion, this belief in extraterrestrial beings who are here to save us, who have taken on the roles of angels and gods. And I see that a lot on the internet. That's, yeah. It has really proliferated over the years. I mean, I suppose is it natural for people to seek that? I suppose it would be a spiritual basis, but now using extraterrestrials.
Yeah, I think that's a great observation. Carl Jung, who wrote about flying saucers in a book called Flying Saucers, A Myth of Things Seen in the Sky, where being Carl Jung, he ultimately comes down on two sides and says in so many words, yes, these phenomena are a projection of our universal longing, our unfulfilled desire to have a greater force than ourselves solve the problems that we can't. It's a updating of God, per se, of a great intelligence of the universe that will be our savior. And there's probably these machines out there, you know, from parts unknown that we call flying saucers. But indeed, for a number of people, it has become the equivalent of a New Age religion. And let's also remember, although my work has kept me involved in casework, where individuals overall have not had positive experiences. That's the area where I work primarily. But let's not forget or in any way diminish the reality that there are many people who have what seem to be as legitimate and as real experiences that are positive, that are transformational in positive ways, and who see these intelligences as benign or beneficial. We're likely dealing with different intelligences here with different motivations, or, you know, depending on how dark your sense of humor is, they're all you know, negative and working to corral us into some kind of situation that they've just gotten better at doing their PR and, you know, enticing people into the program, so to say. I think a lot of it also is simply we superimpose our values and our anxieties and our longings on our experiences. And if I am somebody who is more cautious and concerned and have never really considered this, I'm going to have, if I have a bedroom visitation, it's going to be traumatic to me. If I was brought up open-minded, progressive, fearless, with a lot of imagination and be open to the strange, I might have a very different attitude when it's happening. That would inform what goes on, you know, from that time on. I know that there are, of course, a whole separate school of literature within the world of UFO writing by experiencers and abductees. And, you know, I'm sure you guys have read your share of those books as well. One experiencer, a friend of mine in Michigan, Bill Konkoletsky, who is head of Michigan MUFON and a very public person in terms of his experiences, has written several books. And one of the things that impresses me most about Bill's writing is that he relates experiences from childhood on, some of which have been shocking, traumatic, unnerving, others which have been just fine, fascinating, funny in places, and enriching.
Hey, we've got more enrichment for you folks. Coming in our next segment with Peter, Gene, Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine. the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control, and priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
If you look at the Paracast schedules from way, way back, and we do have a search tool and archives on our site at theparacast.com, Bill was a guest on the show kind of in the earliest days, 2006 or 2007, so perhaps we should have him back on.
Great. Yes.
I don't know at that point if he was talking so much about the experiences, but certainly talking about the UFO subject in general. I mean, I'm going to ask you this, and this gets to be more of the controversy. MUFON is a mixed bag for a lot of people. They look on, obviously, the positive value in getting the word out there, but maybe they're more interested in getting the word out than in investigating.
Maybe. I don't know. It is an organization. It happens to be the largest UFO organization in the world. That doesn't mean it has a million people in it. One can praise its strengths and criticize what you see as its laxness or weakness in other areas. And, you know, if you want to change it, join it and work to make it the way you want it more.
You do raise an interesting point there about organizations like that. Is that the best way to go? Because an organization like MUFON, you mentioned, of course, being possibly the number one organization in the world, and they've got a few thousand members. Out of, what, 8 billion people, we can only find a few thousand people to chase after the flying saucers, whereas we can have hundreds of thousands of people who want to read comic books.
It's an organization. Some people choose not to join organizations, others do. There are many, many people, as we know, we've been them, who are independent in the way that they look to the subject. They network with colleagues, but they're not part of some formal group effort. And there's no right or no wrong, as far as I'm concerned or I can see. Everybody is different in this. If one becomes seriously interested in the general subject, then like any area of science or history studies, you know that it breaks down into ever so many specific areas of interest or areas of study. If you were studying medicine, for example, there'd be 100 specialties you could go into. And it's no different in the world of UFO studies, maybe not as many, but the area of declassified documents or archival work or trace cases, analysis of organic material that have come in contact with UFOs or paranormal activity, or the accounts of witnesses or like that. some people are terrific one-to-one and really have the ability to make somebody who has been through a shattering or otherwise traumatic experience feel comfortable enough to relate their account. It's a great skill to be trusted as a good listener, a hugely important skill. And in that spirit, say to record the account of somebody that you'd like on record because they had an extraordinary event happen to them or they witnessed something extraordinary. Other people are really not very good one-to-one with people, but they're terrific as researchers going through the minutiae of an archive or a library or, you know, a personal filing cabinet or what have you, extracting material, pulling it together, good detective, so to say. And if you're serious about the work, whether you want to do it as a vocation or an avocation, you know, follow your heart. See where your passions lie, where you can be of the most value, where you can do something that contributes to the larger picture of the work in general.
Do you think it would be of a benefit for the whole field of research of UFOs to develop some kind of degree program to actually, you know, put out, you know, I don't know, what, a trained specialist? Or I don't know. I mean, how you would go by something like that. Because like you said, you know, I mean, you know, if somebody can touch their nose twice and walk a straight line for a while, you know, they can become UFO researchers. So, you know, what would be beneficial to the whole field when it comes to researching?
Well, I think that's a great idea. And there are a number of schools that have had courses, some of them full credit courses, on the history of the UFO phenomena, for example, in America, or the cultural impact, you know, on Western culture, that kind of thing. Dr. David Jacobs taught such a class at Temple University, I think, for 18 years, a full credit course, and it was always full. Whether it's a San Francisco School of Art, I'm forgetting, but they teach a credit course on 20th century history and UFOs. More and more schools do this, and there's no reason why, well, again, Dr. Jacobs' PhD was transposed into his first book, which was about UFOs and post-war history, the sociological implications, etc. People can actually create for themselves a PhD program with that in mind. But yes, it seems like a natural extension, especially now that we seem to finally be through this age of ridicule and into, well, it's not that it's completely disappeared, but no reason why reputable schools could not establish areas of study. And, you know, with one set professor bringing in guest speakers, create a degree program. I think it's a great idea.
I think that it would be beneficial if you had people who were experienced as journalists to be able to collect the evidence and vet the information as best as possible, and then people who were scientists who would be willing to study the phenomena on that scale and not worry about being mocked or having grant money taken away from them because they dared broach the subject of UFOs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
I was thinking about the late John Mack. And, you know, heaven forbid that he would have an interest in the subject and actually go about his research in a very scholarly way and to have his accreditation almost pulled.
Yep, no question. He was the very first professor at Harvard to have that threat held over his head since Dr. Timothy Leary lost his credentials to teach at Harvard with his involvement in LSD back in the 60s. And in fact, John had to appear before a board representing the institution with an attorney. And thankfully, it was Daniel Sheehan, who's a wonderful attorney and certainly a specialist in terms of his knowledge of this subject. And John returned to Harvard with his head held high and fully recognized, you know, as a scholar in a very real area of study, but not without, I'm sure, some serious legal bill.
Well, and still, if you go and read pieces written now about him and his life, a lot of them are very deriding of him for his research. That, you know, I mean, here is this really smart guy, and he went and lowered himself for this screwy UFO stuff.
Oh, I guess. I think there are at least as many accolades and recognition of his brilliance and courage as a clinician to interest so many people who would not have been interested if it had not been somebody of his professional caliber and accomplishments willing to put their name professionally and their reputation on the line.
We have got so much more to talk about in the final few segments with Peter Robbins, Gene Steinberg, Tim Swartz. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you love reading about the mysteries of the universe? Do you wonder what secrets are hidden in the shadows of our own planet? If so, you won't want to miss these two amazing books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll explore the world of the mimics of man, beings that can look like us but are not. They've been among us since the beginning of history, hiding in plain sight, influencing our culture in ways we can scarcely imagine. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll discover the so-called hard evidence of UFOs that's been available for study this entire time, but for the most part has been ignored. These two books will open your eyes to a hidden reality that has been right in front of our eyes all along. That's Mimics, The Others Among Us, and Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. Available now on Amazon.com.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.